Ward, straight down, fine legs throat.
Cricket is a game to be enjoyed at all levels. You find your level eventually, but the important thing is that you really enjoy playing. It's a great sport and brings everyone together.
Peter Striga, who's swinging, leg side, he's got a lot of this. That's away for six.
That said, hit me, and it was.
Don't miss out, and he won't do, Peter Striga.
This is the Talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman. Welcome to the podcast, which this week includes two of the newest outlaws and a key member of the Notts backroom team. Tom Barber, who's one of those recent arrivals, joins me in the studio this week alongside physio James Pipe as we hear a slightly surprising career choice the new man might have taken if it hadn't been for cricket.
Mine probably might be a bit different to others. I did my A-levels, did three sciences, got into university, but you sort of only get one chance to be a cricketer. You can always go back to university. Yeah, that would have been what I would have gone into.
Meanwhile, James told us how he introduced himself to the Outlaws in inimitable fashion when he arrived from Derbyshire a few summers ago.
We had to do a show. I came at the start of, the end of 2016. There was a few new players, so I was part of seven players doing it in Barbados. So again, I think we put together a rap, but we weren't very good. There's too many cooks bowled the ball, and I think we got booed off.
And we hear from Peter Trigo on his move to Trent Bridge and his ambitions during his time with Notts.
I'd like to be known as someone who plays with passion, plays, you know, with their heart on their sleeve and a smile on my face. If you can't do that, you're probably, again, in the wrong job. And it's all down to performance and winning games. And if it's entertaining, then brilliant.
But first, I asked Tom Barber how his first few weeks with the club had been.
Yeah, it's been really good. As I said to a lot of the guys here, as soon as I got here, I was welcomed really warmly, and everyone went out their way to say, you know, hello. And it's exciting times, I think.
How did the sort of move to Notts come about? Why was this a place that you wanted to end up?
I had a few conversations with Peter Moores and a McNeil, and obviously Shiny took the bowling coach role here, and I see Pipe as well. Give me a nudge there. I see. Yeah. Can't not mention the big lad, but so with my agent Niall O'Brien, and we sort of come to a sort of an agreement. I trained a bit over the winter before Christmas, went from there really.
I suppose you'd worked with Shiny before with the ECB and the sort of PACE program, would you? So obviously you both gave a positive enough impression of each other at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. I've known Shiny probably since I was 16, 17 now, through the under-19s and PACE program and various other bits and pieces. So, he knows what I'm about, he knows what I need, and he knows a lot of the stuff that I've worked on before as well. So it's all just continuing on, really, and just, refining little things.
That experience of moving counties, I suppose, Pipe, you did it a couple of times. Was it Worcestershire over to Derby? How's that move for you when you're going into a new dressing room? If you've been with the club for a while, is that a bit of a first day at school kind of thing?
Well, that's a challenge, to make every day as exciting as your first day at school. And that's something we talk about here, definitely, something that Pete Moores is a big advocate of. And if you can do that, if you can rock up at the end of September or last few days in the season as excited as you were at the start of pre-season or the first game of the season, You're winning as a squad, so that's certainly one of our drives that we have here. Not a bad mantle to sort of take with you throughout the season.
Do you have like a thing you do with new players coming in? You hear about people being made to like sing songs stood on chairs or things like that. Is there a kind of
absolutely
initiation thing? Well, you love a song, so
yeah, So Babs will, you know, he's obviously got it to come. He's got it ahead of him. Traditionally, the new players to the squad have had to put on a performance on the pre-season tour. Because we're staying in Nottingham this winter, this pre-season, he'll have to do some sort of performance or song. So we're all looking forward to it.
So without giving too much away, is it a song you have to perform? Is that what we're talking here?
Well, it can. So we've had songs. We've certainly had songs. Last year we had a few newcomers as well. So there was all different types of things. So I think Ben Duckett and Joe Clark put a rap together, which was quite entertaining.
Did they write it?
Was it their rap? So yeah, they wrote it. They were very, very, very witty in their words. Brought the lads in hysterics. Leon Price and Paul Coughlin did they sort of learned how to play ukuleles and wrote a song. Impressive. Again, words. So lads go to a lot of effort, and there's been some belters. So there's a lot of pressure on the new lads coming in to keep up the mantle, keep pushing.
That's quite a bit to live up to, isn't it, really? Did you know about that until about a minute ago? Is this new information?
No, I've heard about it before, sort of sort of whirling around in my head what I'd do, I think. Maybe I could belt out Wonderwall, I reckon. A bit of Oasis, I reckon.
To be fair, Matt, every cricketer really needs, apart from being able to play cricket, obviously, you need, if you're going to go on tours and trips, you need to take at least one song in your locker. You need a magic trick or a party trick, and you 100% need a joke ready to go at any particular stage. Probably now's a good time, Babs, I don't know.
God, I don't have many jokes. I think you're the one to... I've heard a few of yours, and they get a few laughs, so... I can't think of anything on top of my head. You got any?
Got another?
Have you got any?
Never answer a question with a question. I do, but I'm not sure. Yeah, mine kind of fall between two stools. I think my clean ones are probably not that funny, and my, well, obviously don't tell anything else but clean ones. So, yeah.
Did you have an, when you moved from Derbyshire to here? Then did you have to do a bit of an initiation?
Yeah, I had to do we had to do a show. I came at the start of, or sorry, the end of 2016, and yeah. there was a few new players. So I was part of seven players doing it in Barbados. So we put together a rap, but we weren't very good. There's two, some of those too many cooks spoiled the broth, and I think we got booed off. We had to do a fight.
That's a lot. That's like So Solid Crew or something. It is a lot of people rapping at once.
Yeah, it was hard, and it was a So Solid Crew type performance. Well, we weren't as good as nowhere near though, but it was that kind of theory, I guess, behind it, but it didn't really come to flourishing.
Well, another one of the guys who'll have to go through that in the next couple of weeks, I suppose, is Peter Trigo, who's joined in the past few weeks as well. I caught up with him earlier this week and asked him, first of all, how his first few weeks have gone as a Notts cricketer.
Yeah, they've been great. The boys have been fantastic. The buzz in the squad is exactly how Peter described it. You know, the boys are flat out into their training, getting themselves ready for a big season in 2020. Yeah, it's been really impressive to be around. New group of guys. It's obviously quite intimidating going into a new environment, but the guys have, you know, welcomed me with open arms, and we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, how's that been? Having been with Somerset for such a long time, I suppose it's been a while since in the county game you've gone into a new dressing room.
Yeah, it's. I got really nervous actually, which is strange to think after so many years of playing. But again, you've got a 20 new peers to impress with your skills, coaches and all that kind of stuff. So but I suppose the one thing I have learned through my career is just to be yourself, and that generally that sort of bonds the relationships pretty quickly.
What is it about the challenge of the next couple of years at Notts that excited you to be here?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's been a fantastic ground for me in particular as a player, but it's probably fair to say that, you know, from a championship cricket point of view, things haven't been going in the right direction. And, I think you can almost draw a line under, you know, the season that Notts had last year, which probably surprised everyone. So it's almost like a blank, fresh canvas, really. And hopefully I can come in and add some, you know, quality and experience to the team. The goal is obviously to be bouncing straight back up and challenging for the county championship in 2021. So it's a really exciting time for the club, and I just only hope that I can add to what is already a fantastic sort of environment.
Some of the profiles I read about you as you left Somerset talked about you as being an entertainer, that being one of the things they remembered you for. Is that something you're conscious of out there in front of the fans here?
Well, again, in terms of being inspired playing at a ground like this, I think we are kind of on the pitch. Our job really is to entertain people, whether it be having a bit of banter with the crowd, you know, whatever. I hope whenever I do stop playing, I think I'd like to be known as someone who plays with passion, plays, you know, with their heart on their sleeve and a smile on my face. If you can't do that, you're probably again in the wrong job. And like I said, it's something I take pride in. I'm very happy to leave it all out there on the field. Hopefully the Notts faithful will become used to, you know, a lot of, you know, antics, but it's all down to performance and winning games. And if it's entertaining, then brilliant.
That's Peter Trigo speaking to me earlier on this week. What's he been like in the first few weeks, Tom? How's Pete been settling into the squad alongside you?
Yeah, really well. We've been actually staying in the same hotel, so we actually caught up last night and had a good chat for a couple of hours. And yeah, I've known him a bit before playing against him, and just to have that experience around the squad, and he's got a few stories to tell, I think, as well, and just a great guy to have around. So yeah, couldn't be happier.
Has it helped you that there's like two of you coming in at more or less the same time as well, two new faces?
Yeah, pretty much, because we're in the same boat, really. You know, we're trying to find places to stay and sort of get to grips with the area. So, yeah, definitely we just help each other out.
I suppose it's something you go through every year, Pipe, here, that there's a bit of a turnover, and this must be a unique time of year to be in that dressing room with the new faces coming in.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's, and like I said, the players that have come in, they're not only, you know, very good players, but they're the right type of characters. They're good characters, strong characters, and they're given a lot off the pitch already. Very professional, dedicated, and led by example. Which has been superb so far. So no, it's been good, mate. It's always exciting, isn't it?
One of the things that I think Peter Moore's mentioned about Peter Trigo coming in was that kind of senior figure, that sort of guidance off the field, that leadership thing. Is that something you can see coming through already, really?
Well, we talk about the type of culture we've spent last couple of weeks. We've sort of really nailed down what we're about, what our culture's about, and certainly Tom and Triggs and the guys that have come in have, you know, they fit our culture to a T. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about, because obviously there's players all over the place at the minute in terms of out of this squad. You've got guys in the BBL. Tom Moores is probably mid-air at the minute on the way out to play England Lions in Australia. From your point of view, really, how do you keep track of the players that are over there from sort of a fitness injury point of view? Are you still in touch with what's going on the ground over there?
Absolutely. I think the way the game is going and these franchise competitions and guys going away, the one thing, I guess, is communication. Communication is key with everything. So, you know, not just with the players, but with their medical teams out there. So if we get anything flagged up, we're well informed and certainly... certainly in touch with things, 100%.
So is it a case, Tom, you want to stay away from Pipe's physio table as much as you can, or is that a bit too simplistic?
Oh, I mean, we have a few laughs, don't we? So I think as much as I'm around Pipey, I think it's a good thing. But yeah, to be fair, like, you know, when we need that support, you know, maybe a massage or just a bit of loosening up, it's good just to get that done and keeps us going, really.
I think as well, it's definitely more from a preventive side. We look to everything we'd look to do. The remit is quite simple from Morsey. Everything you prescribe, it's got to either make a player improve performance, make a player better, or it's got to help keep him on the pitch. If it's not hitting those two remits, then rack it off. It's a waste of time. It's we're not, you know, we just might as well be playing crosswords or whatever. But so I think we, in terms of the work you do, obviously, hopefully, like 90-95% of it is actually trying to stop that from happening and try and keep them playing optimally and keep them from getting injured, really, stop them from getting injured.
One of the things that we want to speak about as well is to do with what you would have done if you weren't a cricketer. And it's made me think actually about you probably being a physio as well. We had Paul Franks on the other week and he was talking about moving from player to being a coach and how he started doing that because it felt like just like the passage you make. But player to physio feels like a bit of a right turn. Was that something you were always gonna do? When did that appear for
you? Nah, mate, I was always gonna play for the Bradford Bulls. I grew up as a Queensbury lad, Bradford lad, and I wanted to play rugby league for Bradford until the age of about 13.
What happened at 13?
That was a lot of fatter and slower than everybody else. I kept getting hammered. couldn't catch, couldn't tackle, couldn't pass, but apart from that, I was a dead cert. I was A for effort. No, but on a serious note, mate, I think the era that I played in, game's come a long way since then. It's a different kettle of fish totally, but I got a bad head injury. I got whacked and got one through the grill, and I spent a lot of time out of the game during the season, and that was probably a wake-up call for me, knowing that the game could finish at any time, so you needed to be smart and utilise time as well as I could while I still had the luxury of being a cricketer to set myself up for life, really.
Tom, I suppose if this wasn't what you were doing, was there ever anything else that you would have done?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, mine probably might be a bit different to others, but I did my A-levels, did three sciences in A-level, applied for chemistry, physics, and would have gone into that. I got into university, but I think you sort of only get one chance to be a cricketer. You can always go back to university, which I'm currently thinking about, do something with the Open Uni, but yeah, that would have been what I would have gone into.
That is, I mean, you don't hear that as often, I don't think, as an answer, really. We did a quiz last year with some of the Knox lads and the Derbyshire
lads.
Quiz,
yeah.
And if we're doing a quiz, you're the first name on the sheet now, I think.
No pressure.
and as well, sort of, sporting heroes is something I've been interested in. What I want to know, I suppose, is like, if there was a person for you, and it could be someone you saw on the telly, or it could be a family member, whoever it was that made you realise that, yeah, I want to be a cricketer, that's it for me.
I think it does. It starts with your family. So my dad and my brothers all play cricket. And I play, I, you know, from a very young age, I remember going to watch my dad and my brothers play, and sort of wanting to be out there with them. And I think, like a lot of people as well, the 2005 Ashes really inspired me. Like you say, seeing Flintoff and the incredible bowling spells that he did in that series, I think really inspired me to, you know, push forward and you know, want to do what he did, really.
I think I read somewhere as well, did you talk about Mitchell Johnson as being, a bit later on, a bit of an inspiration as well? Obviously, other side of the coin, Ashes-wise, but quite a role model there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to watch him bowl the way he did, the aggression, the pace, that sort of fear factor is what I take into my game. So, I mean, it probably wasn't great for the England Test team, but it was good to watch as a advocate of fast bowling, I think.
yeah. I mean, James, for you, I suppose if you started off wanting to play rugby league, was there a cricketing hero as a kid, or was it not as simple as that?
Yeah, listen, when I was a kid, my dad, well, still is my hero. My dad's my hero.
Yeah.
Dad's my hero. Dad played local league cricket in Bradford. Obviously, your rugby league heroes he looked up to, but my dad growing up was my big hero. The Yorkshire players, again, they were quite well known sort of household names in Yorkshire growing up as well. But in terms of from a wicket keeping point of view, sort of as a young sort of lad playing cricket, Ian Healy was someone I looked at. Just thought he was an unbelievable wicket keeper batter. And then the bloke that came after him just revolutionised everything in what he did. And again, just so inspirational to watch how he played and how he went about his business and where he took the game and the position to. When you see all the keeper bats coming through now, it's you know, some talented lads out there. It's a real hotbed, isn't it?
Yeah, that position, I suppose, must have moved on quite a bit in terms of from your era of starting playing to what the guys out there doing now.
Yeah, he stuffed it for everyone, really. every time he went out to bat, people wanted to get 100 off 60 balls and take 5 catches and stuff. And so, yeah, it was unbelievable, Ronnie Gilchrist. And what a player.
Now, I know you've got a lot on today, both of you, so I'll let you go in a couple of minutes. You've got tape ball tonight, I think, haven't you, Tom, as we record this? Have you ever played tape ball before, or will this be...
No, I've never had a game of tape ball.
I don't really know what it is. Is it literally like a ball that's made of tape?
I think it's literally like a tennis ball or something of the sort, just taped with one side. So I think it'll be pretty decent, to be fair. I think we're playing quite a good team, so and we've got a pretty good set of players as well. So
yeah, the side you're taking down with the likes of Mullin there.
Yeah, Bawley, well, I think, is going down. So yeah, no, it should be interesting. But it's community engagement and go and see what it's about. So I'm fairly happy to do that.
But you want to win as well.
You want to win. Yeah. We're not taking any liberties. We're there to win.
well, I hope it all goes well tonight. You'll be able to see bits and bobs of that on our website as well over the next few days and weeks. Thank you, Tom. Thanks, James, for popping in. And we'll be back soon, but plenty more content as well on the website at trentbridge.co.uk.